If you have your Bibles, let's turn together to the book of Psalm. And we're looking specifically at Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. You remember last time we began a new series of messages going through this 23rd Psalm, a most familiar passage of Scripture for many of us. We saw how this one chapter, this one Psalm gives to us a picture of this thing we call the journey of life. And as we go through this, you remember we saw the wonderful fact how that when our journey is over, as we skipped down to the end of the psalm, to Psalm chapter 23, verse number 6, we saw how that it all ends up in the fact that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But you remember we noted that this is not for everyone. This is only for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In other words, the journey of the man or the woman who has received Christ as their Savior. They put their faith and trust in Him. For them is the wonderful promise that they're going to spend all of eternity in the house of the Lord because they know Him as their shepherd. However, while we as believers in Christ, while we can rejoice in knowing where the journey of our life is going to end up, so many times between right now and then, we hit a lot of things that we simply do not know. We come across a lot of circumstances that we do not understand. There's things that come into our life that we never expected, that we never saw coming along the pathway of our journey. And the very same thing was true for David, the man after God's own heart. And so therefore, David, you remember, we saw, he adopted the attitude that we saw in verse number 1 when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We noted when it comes to navigating through this journey of life, we saw how that for David was three things. First of all, he was amazed by the Lord's person. He is the Lord. He is the true. He is the living God. And David was also alert to the Lord's presence. He is my shepherd, not a shepherd, but he's my shepherd. There was a personal relationship between he and his shepherd. And then we also saw how that he was assured of his provisions. Because the Lord was his shepherd, David said that he had no want. He had no want. Now in the rest of this psalm, we're going to find illustrated for us how the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he provides for those who are his sheep, so that we can say, just like David said, "I shall not want. I shall not want." F.B. Meyer, I think, summed it up very well when he noted, "The flock does not keep the shepherd, but the shepherd keeps the flock." And that's exactly what we're going to see as we go through the rest of these verses over the next couple of weeks. So let's begin by noticing now Psalm 23 and verse number 2. David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now this verse naturally follows the first verse. This verse naturally follows the first verse. You see, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need spiritually. Now please understand, as humans, so many times we get focused on the physical. And all we can think about are our physical needs. But you know, with God, He understands that the most important needs that we have are spiritual needs. Because it's those spiritual needs in our life that will determine our destiny. And so we find that he says that the Lord is supplying everything that he needs in a spiritual way. And everything that we need spiritually, it is available for us because, as David says in our text, our good shepherd leads us to luscious green pastures. And he leads us to refreshing still waters. Let's consider this verse and notice the two pictures that are given to us this morning. The two pictures that we find presented here, first of all, number one, there is the picture of provision. The picture of provision. Again, this provision is revealed for us in two ways. First of all, there are the green pastures. David says again in Psalm 23, verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now please understand, this is not talking about a shepherd who leads his sheep into a lush pasture so that they can begin to graze. It's not talking about sheep who are hungry and they're led into a place where they can find plenty of food. Rather, this is talking about sheep who have already grazed. That they have already grazed until they are full. And after they are full, then they lie down. They lie down. You see, sheep are very much like a cow in their digestive system. Sheep actually have two sections in their stomach. And when they are standing on their four feet and they're grazing in a lush green pasture, they will graze until their first stomach is full. And after that first stomach is full, then they will find a place and they will lay down. And once they lay down, they will then begin to chew on that food. They will begin to take that food and regurgitate it up and chew on it and chew on it until they get all the nutrients and all the nourishment out of that food. We call that chewing the cud. And that's exactly what David is picturing here. These are sheep who have already been well fed. They have already filled themselves on the lush green pastures, but now they are laying down and they are chewing. They're chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. Bottom line, when the psalmist said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, it means that the good shepherd had already provided for his sheep so that he was full. He is satisfied. All his needs have been met. May I suggest to you this morning that our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, leads us to lush green pastures, the lush green pastures of His precious Word. I want you to notice why the Bible tells us, this is why the Bible tells us rather in Psalm 119 and verse 103, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The prophet Jeremiah, he expressed a similar idea when he said this in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. In other words, Jeremiah said that he had the Word of God and he's feasting on it. He's feeding on it. But there's something more here that I want you to understand. And that is this. Just as the sheep will chew the cud in order to get every bit of nourishment from the grass that he has eaten, in the very same way, we are to meditate on the Word of God. We're to meditate upon it. We don't just read it and then forget it, but we're to meditate on it. Just as the sheep, he takes that which has been provided and he chews on it and chews on it to get every bit of nourishment out of it. That's exactly what it means when we are commanded and instructed and encouraged to meditate on God's Word. In fact, you remember what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why is that so important? Keep reading. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, as we meditate on the Word of God, As we chew on it in our minds and we think about the wonderful truths that we have seen and the things that we have learned, as we chew on it in our minds, it will cause us to know what we ought to do. It'll cause us to know how we ought to live. It'll cause us to understand what the priorities in our life ought to be. As we meditate on the Word of God, we will know what we ought to do. And then not only that, it will prosper. It will prosper us because of the fact that as we meditate on God's Word and we begin to obey it, obedience always leads to blessings. And so it prospers us. And not only that, it allows us to enjoy a life that is truly successful, not in the eyes of the world, not in the eyes of men, but to live a life that is truly successful in the eyes of our God. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 1, in verse 1 and verse number 2, he said, "Blessed is the man." The word "blessed" there could also be translated "happy." Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How precious is our shepherd's provision. How precious is our shepherd's provision of green pastures. But there's also another thing that we find mentioned in our text, and that is the provision of still waters. The provision of still waters. Notice again in verse number 2, he leadeth me beside still waters. Now I know different people have different likes, and they have different dislikes. For me, the phrase, personally I'm speaking here, for me, the phrase "a relaxing day at the beach" is an oxymoron. In other words, it's a phrase that simply doesn't make sense in my thinking. A relaxing and beach, so those two things, I don't think they should even be in the same sentence with one another. And the reason is simply because of the fact at the beach, with the waters that are constantly moving in and moving out, and there's the splashing of the waves, and it's constantly moving, and there's no rest there for me. There's no relaxing there for me. My preference, if I'm going to find a place to relax, I want a clear mountain lake somewhere where it's calm and where it's still. And that's the kind of resting place to which the good shepherd desires to lead his sheep. Notice the difference we find in Isaiah 57, verse 20. The wicked are like a troubled sea. The wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The waves constantly moving out. There's constantly a restlessness that is there. And so the good shepherd leads his sheep beside still waters. Therefore, the good shepherd not only provides spiritual nourishment for our sheep, but he also provides and leads them to a quiet place of rest by a pool of water that is deep, that is clean, and that is refreshing. That is why our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, he said it this way in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, verse 29. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'll give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul." You see, it's through our relationship with the Good Shepherd that we find the spiritual rest that we need. I think Joseph Benson, the old commentator, I think he said it very well when he noted the consolations of God. In other words, the comforts of God. The comforts of God. The joys of the Holy Ghost are those still waters by which the saints are led. The words "green pastures" and "still waters" give us a beautiful picture of our shepherd's provision. What a beautiful picture they give of our shepherd's spiritual provisions. In fact, William Evans, he wrote this. He said, "There can be no spiritual strength sufficient to walk in the paths of righteousness unless time is taken to lie down in the green pastures of the divine word by the still waters of prayer. That's where the Christian finds his rest. That's where the Christian finds the spiritual need that he has so that he can say with David, I shall not want. God has provided everything that we need for our spiritual well-being. But then I want you to notice there is the picture of provision. There is also, number two, there is the picture of peace. The picture of peace. Again, look at verse number 2 of Psalm 23. David said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This picture of peace is actually seen in the posture of the sheep. It's seen in the posture of the sheep. They're laying down. They're laying down with their legs folded underneath them as though they have absolutely no care in the world. They're laying down. They're laying down. In fact, I have read that sheep will not lay down if they are fearful. They will not lay down if they are frightened. The fact that the sheep are laying down, now this is an important point. Please don't miss this. The fact that the sheep are laying down does not mean that there are no predators around them. It does not mean that there are no dangers lurking out in the trees that surround the pasture where that they are. It doesn't mean that they are absolutely free of all danger. Rather, it simply means they're able to lay down because of the fact they have confidence in their shepherd. They're able to lay down because of the confidence they have in the shepherd. You see, sheep have an excellent sense of smell. And they have an excellent sense of hearing. And therefore, the sheep are able to lay down. Even though there's dangers all around, they're able to lay down and rest because they can smell. They can sense that their shepherd is nearby. And not only that, they can lay down and rest because they hear the voice of their shepherd as he gently speaks to them. In the very same way as one of the Lord's sheep, David said he could lay down in peace because of his confidence in the shepherd. He could lay down in peace and safety because of his confidence in the shepherd. In fact, that's why David said, notice it, he maketh me. He maketh me to lie down. And that was because of the confidence that he had in the shepherd. And because of that confidence, David could say in Psalm 56, verse 2 and verse number 3, he could say, Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. But then notice what he said in verse number 3, What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I'm going to trust in my shepherd. Even though there's enemies all around who would seek to destroy me, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to trust in my shepherd. I'm going to trust in my shepherd. And the same thing is true for each of us who have put our faith and trust in the good shepherd. The same thing is true for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We can lay down in peace because we have the assurance that He is always near to us. In fact, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said it Himself in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20. Lo, I am with you. What is it? Most of the time? No. I'm with you always. I'm always with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we find the writer of the book of Hebrews alludes to this same wonderful truth when he says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, He hath said, talking about our good shepherd, He hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can lay down in peace because we have the assurance that He is near. But not only that, just like those sheep in David's day, we can lay down in peace because we have the ability to hear His voice. To hear His voice. In other words, we hear His voice through the Word of God. And in fact, notice what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 27. My sheep, they hear my voice. They hear my voice. And so therefore, because we have confidence in our good shepherd, we can lay down in perfect peace because we know we have his presence with us. And because we can hear his precious voice as he speaks to us by his Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And because of that, we can lay down in perfect peace in spite of letter A, the perplexities of life. We can have perfect peace in spite of the perplexities. These perplexities, they have to do with the present. They have to do with the things that are going on right now in my life and in your life. And we can have perfect peace in the midst of all of the perplexities. We're able to have peace in spite of the situations that we are now facing, which seem so hard to understand. We can have perfect peace in spite of the circumstances that seem to have no rhyme or reason. Not only that, we can face those circumstances that are troubling us with a perfect sense of peace because our shepherd is near. But not only do we have a perfect peace in spite of the perplexities of life, we also have a perfect peace because of the possibilities of life. The possibilities of life. This has to do with future things. The perplexities are what we're facing now. The possibilities are what might come tomorrow and what might come next week and next month and next year. Those are the possibilities. They have to do with the future. These are the things that we begin to think about today, and it causes us to be filled with a worry and with a fretting that robs us of the peace that God desires for us to have. It has been well said that worry is the interest that we pay on trouble before it comes. Think about that. Yeah, worry is the interest that we pay on trouble before it comes. It has also been well said that ulcers are not caused so much by what we eat. Rather, ulcers are caused by what we allow to eat on us, the worries, the frets, the things that we are looking at, the possibilities that we're considering of what might come tomorrow, what might happen tomorrow. But instead of allowing those things that will probably never happen, instead of allowing those things that are present difficulties that we're dealing with right now, instead of allowing those things to rule in our thoughts and to control our thinking, we need to remember the words of the prophet Isaiah. Here's what he said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. He said, "Thou," talking about the Lord God, talking about the Good Shepherd, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Notice it's not just peace. It's perfect peace. That's the kind of peace that the Good Shepherd gives to those who are trusting in him. Certainly the words green pastures, still waters, certainly those words give to us a beautiful picture of the provision and the peace that our Good Shepherd has made available for us. I read a story some time ago about a certain actor who was known for his ability to read and to recite from the classics. People would come and they would just sit spellbound as he would make these readings from various classical works. And it was said that this particular actor would always end his performance by giving a dramatic recital of Psalm 23. And each night, without exception, as he would come to the end of the 23rd Psalm, the crowds would stand and give a standing ovation to show their appreciation for the actor's ability to bring that psalm to life. One night it is said that just before he was to offer his customary recital of the psalm, a young man raised his hand and spoke up and said, "Sir, would you mind if just tonight, if I could recite the 23rd psalm?" The actor was surprised. However, he was also curious to see how the ability of this young man would compare to his own trained talents. And so he invited the young man to come to the stage and to recite the psalm. Softly, the young man began to recite the words of the psalm. When he was done, there was no standing of the crowd. There was no applause. But from that great auditorium could be heard the sound of weeping. They could hear people weeping all over that auditorium, and the actor was amazed. He was amazed by the response, and he said, "I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I've been performing Psalm 23 for years, but I have never, ever had such a response as you have tonight. Tell me, young man, what is your secret? What is your secret?" The young man replied, "Well, sir, you know the psalm. I know the shepherd." Oh, what a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. While it is certainly good that we are learning from this psalm how to face the uncertainties that come during this journey that we call life, please make sure that you do not just come to have a head knowledge of this psalm. Rather, make sure that you have a personal relationship with the shepherd. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. Let me ask you this morning, can you say with all confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Can you say that? Can you say that? Let me say to you that the only way you can ever make such a statement and be honest about it is if you have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted in Him as your Savior, if there's never been a time when you have humbled yourself before God and acknowledged the fact of your sinfulness, the fact that you've broken God's law, you've offended His holiness, and there's never been a time when you came to realize that there's nothing you can do to save yourself, and you've cast yourself upon God's mercy, and you've claimed His grace, asking that He would forgive you and cleanse you and to take away your sin and make you to become a child of God. Oh, I hope today that you'll come to know the shepherd. I pray today you'll come to know Him in a personal way. And if you do know, and you do have that assurance that the Lord is your shepherd, then let me ask you this. Are you feasting daily on His provision? Are you daily filling your heart and your mind with the precious truths of God's Word? And then are you meditating on those things so that you might get every bit of nourishment from it that you can? And then let me ask you this. Are you resting in His peace? Are you resting in the peace that only God can give? Oh, may God help it to be so today. May the need in each heart and in each life be fully met as we get to know our shepherd.